Let's read the first seven verses. Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and all that you have already done. Thank you for the opportunity to gather like this, to open up your word yet again. Lord, we believe and trust that your word is living and active, that it always accomplishes your good purposes, and that you're at work in all things for the good of those that love you. And Lord, we trust that your word is profitable, Lord, that it teaches us, it corrects us, it reproves us, it trains us in righteousness, that we might be competent and equipped for the good works that you've prepared for us. And Lord, at the outset of this series in the book of Proverbs, we ask that you would do all of these things for us and in us through your word. That you would take the wisdom found here, the truths found in this book, and you would sow them into our hearts and our minds. And Lord, they would bear fruit. They'd bear immediate fruit, and they'd bear fruit for the rest of our lives. Lord, we lack wisdom, and you tell us that when we lack it, to ask you for it, and that you give it generously to those who ask for it by faith. And so, Lord, at the outset of our study in this book, we just acknowledge we lack wisdom, and we need it, and we ask for it. So, Lord, would you pour out wisdom upon us each and every Sunday as we gather and we find ourselves in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have you ever noticed how life isn't really just a black and white type of thing? That there's really just a lot of gray area to living out our lives. There's black and white things as well. There's those things like, okay, you should not steal, or you shall not steal. And so that's pretty black and white. You don't take somebody else's things. We know that's a black and white issue. We know that lying is a black and white issue. You know you shouldn't lie. Murder is a black and white issue. And so we know you're not supposed to take somebody else's life. Husbands know that they're to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so it kind of seems black and white until you actually get married and then you have to live that passage out every day. And as the days change and the circumstances change, you know you're called to love your wife as Christ loved the church, but sometimes you find yourself wondering, what does that really look like in this moment? And so you find yourself crying out saying, Lord, give me wisdom to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Now, children know that they're to obey their parents in the Lord. That's pretty black and white. The black and white parts of life are pretty clear, and some people love this. There are people that God has created that just, they work really well with black and white, but it's the gray areas that sometimes can be a bit confusing, or we find ourselves wondering, what do I do in this situation? We have to wrestle with questions like, should I go to college or not? If I go to college, which college should I go to? If I don't go to college, then what should I do with the rest of my life? When should I get married? And who should I get married to? Gray. How should I spend the money that I have? Who should I be friends with? And what should our friendship look like? How often, as you get older, how often should I go visit my family? And what do I need to do when I go visit them? What does helping my husband look like today? What does leading my family look like in this season of our lives? And then what does it look like when the season changes? How do I honor my parents now that I'm older and I have my own family? Who should I vote for in the upcoming election? And how do I talk to my friends who might vote differently than I do? Those are wisdom issues. Those are sometimes gray areas. How do I live in this world and not love this world? We're called to not love this world, but yet we still live in this world. And we have some black and white things we see throughout Scripture that really guide us. But then we actually have to step out our door every day. And we got to make a million different decisions that you can't necessarily find a scripture and sort of verse for. And you need wisdom for these things. How do I interact with someone who's different than I am? How do I reconcile this particular relationship right now that doesn't seem to really want to be reconciled? What does it even mean for us to pick up a cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus today? We all would agree that that's what we've been called to do as Christians, right? We're called to look to Christ, have faith in Christ, and pick up a cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. That's a great verse. It's one of those great life verses. But what does that really look like for you today? It might look a little different than what it might look like for me today, because we're living different lives, but we're anchored to that one truth that we need God to give us wisdom for, so that we might faithfully walk that truth out. Now, to answer these questions, and I don't know that we're going to answer all of them, but to answer them, and I would say, and a million more questions like these that we have every single day, we need wisdom, and thankfully God has given us wisdom. And he invites us to ask him for more wisdom when we lack this wisdom. And so we find ourselves in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to sort of study this book throughout the summer. Just spend time in Proverbs. We're going to start slow and sort of speed up towards the end. But one of the reasons we're in this book is because this book gives us wisdom. How many of you have spent time reading the book of Proverbs? How many of you, that's kind of like your go-to, like when somebody says, what are you reading in your Bible? You're just like, well, I'm reading Proverbs. If you've grown up in a Christian home, chances are you've spent a lot of time reading Proverbs. Chances are your go-to is whatever day it is, that's the proverb I go to, and I read a proverb a day. I didn't grow up a Christian. I used to hear all my friends say, that's what I do. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? There's more parts of the Bible. I didn't grow up with that thinking. I didn't grow up somebody saying, just pick a proverb a day. But I get it now. I understand. I love the book of Proverbs. I read a proverb a day no matter what it is I'm doing, because it's just this refresher. And as I get older, I just understand I am a man who lacks wisdom. I need God to give me wisdom. And what we have in Proverbs is a whole lot of wisdom. It's wisdom literature. Wisdom is an essential gift from God that's meant to help us grow in our faith. And it keeps us from, as Jonathan Edwards would say, many embarrassing moments. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom helps us stay away from many embarrassing moments. When you think of wisdom, this is kind of my working definition of it, is sort of like knowing what the right thing to do at the right time with the right amount of resources to produce the right results. I know it's a lot of rights, it's a lot of right things to be thinking about, but that's essentially what we're looking for when we're asking for wisdom. We're just saying, Lord, what do I do here? How do I navigate this conversation? What's the next thing that should come out of my mouth that would serve this conversation and not blow up this conversation? Or, Lord, give me wisdom to fix a projector. And you're just running around trying things, and God's sort of putting things out there, and there's certain guys that have insights into certain things, and they bring those to the table, and everybody's working, and somehow this shows up. God gave someone wisdom, and I'll find out later and maybe report back to you how that happened. But that's just like a living illustration today of just that, it just happens. God gives people wisdom for certain things. He shows them the right thing to do at the right time to produce the right results. And what we hope for is that we're using the right amount of resources and effort to do that. And what reality is we're human and we're fallen, is that we don't always do that, but God is wisdom. And you've heard me share this definition a number of times. When you think about God being all wise, what you get there is you get God who always knows the right thing to do at the right time with the right amount of resources to always produce the right results. He's perfectly wise in who he is and everything he does. And in his wisdom, he has given us his word. And specifically, as we approach Proverbs, he's given us these words, these wise words for us to learn from, to gain wisdom and insight from. And so wisdom teaches us how to actually love people without harming them with truth. Wisdom teaches us how to be bold and courageous without getting hurt or accidentally hurting others. Wisdom teaches us how to reach out to our neighbors with the gospel without making the gospel ugly. Wisdom teaches us when to open our mouths, how to open our mouths, and even post on social media in such a way that encourages others and informs others without revealing our own stupidity and pride. Wisdom also teaches us how to keep our mouths shut. One of my favorite proverbs found here in this book is, even a fool looks wise when he what? Keeps his mouth shut. When I first got saved, I came across that proverb, and for some reason it just stuck, and what it does is it just tells me, do not talk a lot. Do not share what you're thinking all the time. In fact, it's probably better for you just to be quiet and listen, because even a fool looks wise when he keeps his mouth shut. We all desperately need God's wisdom to live the fruitful and faithful lives he has created us and redeemed us to live. Without God's wisdom, we're left to ourselves and the world's wisdom to figure things out. And as we learned in Ecclesiastes, we will never figure things out that way. Those ways don't work. The world will offer its truth. The world will offer its wisdom, but it's not really wisdom, because true wisdom acknowledges God. True wisdom fears God. We're going to see this in just a moment. But what the world offers us is its own sort of practical truths. And sometimes I see it as God's common grace, because the world sort of gets to a certain point and can kind of look at things. But anything that's ignoring God, rejecting Jesus, is not wisdom. That's actually called foolishness. We're going to take some time to study the book of Proverbs, because we need God to counsel us in his wisdom. We need Jesus to speak to us through this book and guide us in living the lives that he died on a cross for us to live. We need Jesus to help us navigate the gray areas of life and work his character deep into our souls, so that by his grace we would make the gospel beautiful to the world around us. What we're going to learn this morning in these seven verses is this truth: since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, we must not despise wisdom and instruction. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, we must not despise wisdom and instruction. To help us dig into this truth this morning, we're going to take a look at 3 points. In the first point, what we see is an introduction to Proverbs. An introduction to Proverbs. Point number 1, verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." This verse tells us two things about this book. First, it tells us it's a collection of proverbs. A proverb is typically a short, pithy statement that communicates a practical truth. For example, the world offers some familiar ones, and we know these really, really well. Actions speak louder than. Absence makes the heart grow. Beggars can't be. Cleanliness is next to. Don't judge a book by its. If it ain't broke. But if it is broke clay, you need to fix it. Clay broke his mower, so clay, fix that thing. The early bird gets the. There's no such thing as a free lunch. This is my new favorite. I wonder how many people are going to get it, okay? JL, you feel free to answer this. Ready? Fish don't jump into the boat. Yeah, it's my Tom Brady shared that one recently, and I just grabbed onto it and just worked. What that one means is you got to work at things, right? You just got to go to work. If you're going to go fishing, you just can't take the boat out and just sort of look at the water and think they're going to jump in. You got to do something to get it done. Anyways, point is that the world offers those things, and they're pithy, and they sort of they motivate for a moment, and they're sort of built on some biblical truths that we're going to find throughout this book. They're kind of good, pithy. Biblical proverbs are short and sometimes pithy, but they offer us God's wisdom. They offer us real practical truth from God for how this world works or should work. Because he created this world. Therefore, he knows how it works. And so what we have in here is God giving us wisdom for how we should live our lives according to the way in which he created us and redeemed us to live them. So think about a proverb like this. When the Wright brothers flew their airplane for the first time, they didn't just sort of take off with their first design and risk their lives not knowing if their plane would fly or not. What did they do? They probably tested it, right? They tested different designs. Will this work? If I get into this thing, will I survive to then maybe build another one like it one day? And so they had this area where they could just test out their designs and make the appropriate changes so that they would live through it. This is kind of what Proverbs is for. It's a safe place for us to figure out how life works. It's a great place for young kids to spend a lot of time in. And I get it now. Like, why did you grow up reading a proverb a day? Because this is the test area. This is where you figure out, I should keep my mouth shut. Because God says even a fool looks wise when he's quiet, or I should work hard, as JL was sharing with us, because if you work your land, you'll have plenty of bread, but if you play a ton of video games your whole life, and you never open up your school book, you follow sort of worthless pursuits, he says, you lack sense. That's Proverbs 12:11. And so it just says it here. This is a safe area to sort of figure that out, so then you can go test it out in real life. And I'm going to bet on this. And I'm going to ask us as a church, bet on this. Live your life in this. And have a lot of fun testing it out. A lot of fun testing out. God, are you true? Is that right? Like, if I really get up and I do what you've asked me to do and I work the land, you're telling me that I'm going to have plenty of bread? But if I don't go to work and I'm lazy and I just kind of do whatever it is I want to do and I ignore you, you're saying I lack sense. Test that out. See if God is right. So we have all of this in this book. The second thing we learn is that this book was written by Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Solomon was the son of King David. Very, very wise man. We spent a number of months in Ecclesiastes learning about Solomon. Again, I guess I'll just share this as a reminder. You can check this out in 1 Kings chapter 3, 4, and 5. Solomon was given the opportunity by God to ask for anything, and what he asked for was wisdom, basically. I want understanding, I want wisdom, he said, so that I might govern the people you called me to govern, and God was impressed, quote unquote, with what he asked for, and he gave it to him along with riches and honor. And so if you read 1 Kings chapter 4, what you're going to see is God poured out extraordinary wisdom upon Solomon, so much so that there was nobody wiser before him and after him, that's what the Bible says, except for Jesus. And so what we have here is all of that wisdom, that God-given wisdom, that extraordinary wisdom that he also put into practice. He worked his land. And what we have is we have his words recorded for us because God breathed these words into him so that we might profit from them. We have a lot of wisdom here from a very wise man who received it from God, who is wisdom. Very important for us to understand. And what that does for us is it helps us build a conviction. Why do we spend time in this? Why are we looking at Solomon to give us some wisdom? Because God gave this to him. God breathed these words into him for us to study, to think about. This moves us to our second point, the purpose of Proverbs. In verses 2 through 6, we find two purposes for this book. The first one is to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. Wisdom is more than being smart. It's also more than being a good moral person. You could be a really smart person who has read the entire Bible through and through. You could have it memorized and be able to ace a Bible knowledge exam and still not be wise. Smart does not equal wise. Ray Ortlund in his commentary said the following. He said, "Wisdom is skill, expertise, and competence that understands how life really works, how to achieve successful and even beautiful results." We see a picture of wisdom in Exodus 35:31, where the word translated wisdom in Proverbs 1:2 is used for the skill of an artist adorning the tabernacle. We see wisdom in Jeremiah 10:9, where the expertise of the goldsmith is called the work of skilled men or wise men. We see wisdom in Psalm 107:27 for the know-how of sailors who use the winds and tides to make their way through the seas to their destination. Wisdom understands how real life can work well. Smart people maybe answer those questions. Wise people are able to actually execute. They actually know what to do in that moment to produce, in a sense, beautiful results or the right results that ultimately what we're looking for to glorify God. That takes wisdom. It doesn't neglect the knowledge and the insight we need, but a lot of times we need the wisdom to be able to put all these things together and then execute it in the right way that brings the most honor and glory to God. The wisdom doesn't just know the rules of life. It knows how to work within these rules and with these rules to live a fruitful and happy life. Wisdom doesn't just hope for the best. It works hard. It works hard preparing for life, setting goals, making a strategy, and then carefully working at these strategies to accomplish the things God has called us to accomplish. We find all of that in this book. Wisdom considers theological truths and God's commands along with real-life circumstances and the people we are interacting with and seeks to apply these truths in the most God-honoring ways that benefits everyone without compromising truth. Anyone who has ever had more than one kid knows what this is like. And you know what I mean by that. Like we have four kids, and so what I'm going to say is all four of them are very similar in many ways, and then I'd say they're also very different in those other ways. And so as we've grown as parents trying to raise our kids, we realize, I would say early on, not right away, early on, that you can't do the same thing with all of them and expect the same result. Because everybody's just a little bit different. And so we have some kids that get disciplined for certain things, and the other ones not quite disciplined the same way because the circumstances were a little bit different, and we're after, though, the same results for all of them. And so it takes wisdom. What do we do here? We did this with this one, but what do we do with this one? But the goal at the end of the day is to raise them in the fear of God, is to teach them about Jesus with the hope that God would save them and that they would one day pick up their cross and follow him. And so it takes wisdom to be able to navigate different situations with the same truth, but having to deal differently with different people at different times. We need wisdom from God, and we're going to find it in this book. We also learn that we need instruction and discipline, or discipline. The problem we all face is that we're not born wise people. We get wisdom by typically learning it the hard way. We get it from reading and sometimes the testing it out. And we gain a lot of times the hard way as the Lord graciously instructs us and at times disciplines us. To grow in wisdom, we need to be teachable. Verse 3 says, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity. The word receive is key here. A teachable person is someone who is ready and willing to receive instruction. We're going to see this throughout the first half of this book where there's just this plea. Listen to your father's instruction. Pay attention. Just hear me out on this right here. There's this call to receive. And a teachable person recognizes that they don't know all things and they need to receive instruction or discipline. A teachable person is someone who is a lifelong learner, always looking to grow and become more and more like Jesus. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow in wisdom, in righteousness, and justice, and equity, Solomon would say, receive instruction. Receive it from God and his word. And we're going to see throughout this book as well as receive it from godly men and women. Receive it from those who have learned these lessons well. Receive it from those who are in front of you running this race and have spent many years seeking to listen and apply and live it out. Ask for help. Read God's word. Read great books about God's word. Study fruitful and happy people around you who are living faithful lives following Jesus. If you feel like you've hit a wall in your life, I think what Solomon would say in some ways is get curious. Become a learner. Pray about what that wall is and why it's there. Why do you think you can't keep moving forward in the way in which you want to move forward? If God's at work in all things, what might he be saying to you in this moment? What are you not seeing that you should be seeing? Should you take a different direction? These are all wisdom issues that we find sort of lived out throughout this book. So get curious. Cry out to God. Ask him for wisdom. Seek instruction. Be teachable. In verse 4, Solomon writes, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. This book is going to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. This is another way of saying that these words of wisdom are going to prepare young people to live fruitful and happy lives in this fallen world for the glory of God. The book of Proverbs teaches us how to navigate a fallen world by instructing us with knowledge about how God created this world to work. It's going to teach us how to work, how to handle the money God gives us, how to run from sexual immorality, how to hear Lady Wisdom cry out and ignore Lady Folly, who also is crying out. Going to teach us about marriage, finding a godly wife. It's going to teach us about what real success is according to God. But to get this, you kind of have to want it, which is a gift from God. And we're going to see in just a moment what I mean. And you kind of have to be teachable. You have to kind of be open to instruction and growing in wisdom and believing that God actually wrote these for us so that we might benefit from them and live out wise lives for the glory of God. This is why Solomon writes, "Let the wise hear," verse 5, "and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." Wise people recognize that there is more wisdom to be gained. So Solomon would say, I guess you can teach an old dog new tricks. Or he would say, if you're an old dog, you better be learning new tricks. As long as you're breathing, Solomon would say, keep receiving instruction. Keep growing in wisdom. The second purpose is to understand words of insight. The word insight means that the non-obvious can become obvious to you. I've shared this illustration a number of times, but I just think it just fits. You can only see what you see. You only know what you know. Meaning, okay, Phil, how old are you again? So Phil can't see 65. I'm about to see 46 this Friday. I can't see it right now because I'm 45, but on Friday I turn 46. And so I can see 46 then, but I can't see 64. I have four kids. I don't know what it's like to have five. There's a lot of things we can't see because we've never done that we need insight into. And so what we learn here is that we gain that insight. God gives insight through his word. He allows for us to see things we can't see. Or we get to see things we've never experienced, and it's all there. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. This book is going to give us wisdom and insight to live the lives that God has created and redeemed us to live. It's full of wise, practical truths that will help us see things that we can't see right now, but will help us navigate through those life challenges. But it won't be easy. That's why a lot of us have just spent our lives reading Proverbs. They seem easy sometimes, but it's like God's word says, we need him to sort of give us this insight. We need to let these things roll around in our minds and really work through. Okay, work the land, plenty of bread, following worthless pursuit, it lacks sense, it seems real simple, but how does that really work its way out all the time? And so we meditate on it and we think through it. And there's more. That's just the one in the top of my head today. But there's more that we're just going to wrestle through them and think about them and allow for them to bear fruit when God wants them to bear fruit in whatever season he calls us to. This leads us to our third and final point, the theme of Proverbs. In verse 7, we find the theme of this book. Verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Listen, that's our May scripture verse, by the way. I didn't put it on Phil's announcements, but it was on mine. I just sent out the wrong one. So Proverbs 1:7, we memorize scripture verse every Sunday or every month. This is the one we're memorizing as a church this month. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Wise people, he says, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is living with God at the center of everything, making him and what he says through his word the highest priority in our lives. Douglas O'Donnell writes, "According to the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is a continual, humble, faithful submission to Yahweh, which compels one to hate evil, turn away from it, and brings with it rewards better than all earthly treasures. The rewards of a love for and a knowledge of God and long life, confidence, satisfaction, and protection." I'll simplify it for you. It conveys an attitude of submission, respect, dependence, and worship of God. There's no wisdom, no true godly wisdom, apart from fearing God. Proverbs is going to teach us that true wisdom comes and starts with a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ alone and having an appropriate attitude towards God, and that appropriate attitude towards God is fear, this sense of awe, reverence, respect, understanding. He created all things. We answer to Him for all things. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool is someone who ignores God and His ways. He or she can be a really smart person, a really gifted person, and a really successful person in this world, but if their heart despises God and ignores Jesus Christ, they are a fool. That's what we're going to learn in this book. They're a fool because they don't trust in God. They don't trust and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They build their lives around themselves. They listen to Lady Folly and they ignore Lady Wisdom. They do whatever it is they want to do when they want to do it. And Proverbs is going to show us that's foolishness. They are despising wisdom and instruction. And fools will perish in their sins and their foolishness. Instead of receiving God's saving grace and mercy, they'll receive God's wrath for their sins. Wise people are God-fearing people. They recognize that knowledge starts with God and then it comes to us. God must reveal His truth to us by His grace. We must receive it by faith. See, our search for truth, our search for reality, and our search for how this world actually works and how we're to actually live in it, Solomon says, it starts with a fear of God. Understanding all of this doesn't happen apart from God. If you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to live a real fruitful and happy life as God has created you to live, then you must start by looking at the cross of Jesus Christ and surrender your life to Him. See, the good news is this: Jesus died for fools. And that's where we all start, dead in our sins. But God, by His mercy and grace, He gave up His only Son, Jesus, to pay the full penalty for all of our sins, all of our foolishness, so that we might be forgiven, declared righteous, and brought into a right relationship with God where we get to actually know Him. And He changes us in such a way that we actually fear Him. And we actually make Him the center of everything we do. And what Solomon is going to teach us is that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom starts. That's what wisdom is built on. And it actually never gets away from that. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of instruction. But fools despise wisdom. Or it's the beginning of knowledge. And here's what I'd say is, do not despise this good news. Let us draw near to God through faith in Jesus. Let's build our lives upon the gospel. And as we spend time in this book, let's come to it with a sense of expectation. What's God going to teach us today? What's He going to show us? What kind of wisdom is He going to sow into our church today? And let's pray for it because we lack it, right? If we're still breathing, we lack something. We lack some wisdom. So let me close in prayer, asking God to pour out His Spirit upon us and give us wisdom as we go through this book. Lord, we thank You for this time. Ask that You would pour out Your Spirit in full upon us. Lord, that You would give us all wisdom, that You would reveal Yourself in specific ways to us throughout every page of Your Word, and specifically Proverbs as we spend time in it. God, surprise and delight us. Lord, forgive us for our foolishness. And Lord, we ask, give us wisdom. Wisdom to know You, wisdom to love You, wisdom to pick up our cross and follow Jesus this week. And Lord, may You be glorified in everything we do. And Lord, we ask that You would bless our picnic as we gather together. Lord, You give us lots of rest, lots of joy, lots of laughter, lots of encouragement. We would look to build one another up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Lord willing, get to see you at the church picnic later today. Again, that's from 5 to 8 at JJ Biello. Have a blessed Sunday.